It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are. It is the seventh day of October 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us. Live on the interweb tubes and over at the podcast tab. All your podcasting needs. Just about any platform you can imagine is right there waiting for you at HeadOn.live. If you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, head on over to HeadOn.live. Click on chat room, pick out a screen name and a password if you haven't already, and by Jove, you will be met by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator on what I take to be a lovely Northern California fall day, has folded space to become man cave. It's not so lovely here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia stand. But damned if we didn't need the rain, and we've been getting it for the last couple of days. It's right gray and gloomy outside, but I don't know how you can. I don't know any other way to have rain other than have cloudy skies. You know what I mean? And so last week it was 94 degrees and 86 in the studio, and what appears to have been the last vestiges of naked radio for 2019, and. Right now, it's a right tolerable 68 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Things are still kind of tough, and, you know, earlier, just a few minutes ago, as a matter of fact, because I'm, oh, that's a good one. Early cowbell for Squeaky. Illegal calamari, squid pro quo. Yes, that was worth a jingle. I needed the giggle. I don't know about you, but I did. because I'm pretty tired. It was a long weekend, and today was long, too. Nothing but I've made calls all day long and can't seem to get any of them returned, which is frustrating. But I'm kind of tired here. And so a little bit ago, you know, even though there's no caffeine to speak of in it, a nice hot cup of decaf will kind of perk you up. I know it's hard to believe, but if it's good decaf, and I use the Private Selection Colombian Swiss Water Process decaf from Kroger's, because that's about all I can find, it'll perk you up a little bit. And we got one of those Keurig brewers. You know, we use the little reusable, sustainable cups that you pour the grounds in and then you empty it out and yada, yada, yada. But I started to make my cup of decaf about 20 minutes ago. Now, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I started to make my cup of decaf about 20 minutes ago, and that coffee maker makes strange sounds. I heard it, and Agnes heard it, and I looked at her and I said, "I think our coffee maker's depressed." because when it started to put the water through the system, it sounded a lot like this.
Oh.
No, that's... In fact, if I had recorded it, I'm pretty close on that. I think... I think our coffee maker's severely bummed out. And I couldn't help laughing. Because of course it is. But this program always begins with gratitude because you are the ones who keep this program on the air. So I want to send out thanks to our subscribers over the weekend. Let's see, Sunday, and there's Saturday. So thanks go out to James in Illinois, to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you to Roberto. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you to Chris in Germany. Thank you to Bob in North Carolina, to Alex. Thank you to our buddy Don in West Tennistan. Thank you to Kitty in Boston. Thank you to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to John. Thank you to Brock and Reed. Thanks to Dr. Allen in Texas. And thank you to James. Thank you one and all. Thanks as well. I sent in a deposit today. So thanks to Brandon and Fennell. Thank you very kindly. And thanks as well to Dave down in Kentucky. Thank you for, and thanks to Jude in the Great Northwest for being U.S. Postal Service subscribers to keep the horn on the air. Thank you all so very much indeed. Thanks to Joy for knocking out the remainder of the challenge from last Friday. Thank you very much. And this evening... I mentioned it toward the end of the program, but it was toward the end of the program, and we still had another challenge on the table, so I wanted to reiterate it this evening, courtesy of Rico in DeBerg, who has been through his own season in hell. Rico wanted to put a $50 challenge on the table, Rico's mental health challenge. Just a reminder that the struggle for basic human dignity and basic human mental health help is a constant struggle in this profitized delivery system we have in this country. If those $50 are met, Rico said he would add another $25 to it, so that would knock out most a big chunk of today, you know, usual $200 fundraising goal. Thank you, Rico. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. And I guess I should update you. We're not getting a lot closer to any sort of a solution, but it's not for want of trying. And we will continue trying. That's all we really can do. Yeah, I know. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, wow, you know things have gotten really bad when your appliances start weeping for this country and the state it's in. Well, we will have gone all the way around the bend when I go to make my cup of decaf and the Keurig machine yells, holy shit, Bob, did you... What I started saying 2 weeks ago now, it just keeps getting truer by the day. However weird yesterday was, today will be weirder. And however weird today is, tomorrow will be weirder still. I'm getting to the point where it feels like this needs to go to be a 7-day-a-week program just to fucking keep up. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy, in the Great Northwest. Bob, I have a feeling days and times will be great for your family moving forward strong. Thank you, Jimmy. We're trying to make that happen. Darlene in Connecticut says, I think you and Agnes need to show that coffee maker deep appreciation. Tell it you love it and are grateful for its presence in your lives. Even a nice pat on its top will help. I always say that about and to my 2008 RAV4, and it hasn't let me down yet. you know, if you, I'm a big fan of the early 80s novel by Tom Robbins, Still Life with Woodpecker. And in many ways, that book sets out to be a meditation on the relationship between people and inanimate objects. And he makes the argument that they aren't quite as inanimate as we think they are because of our relationship to them. And so, yes, I do talk to the machines and the appliances because I'm just so damned happy when they work. But like I said, it's the weird. I mean, I was all set up to deal with the bizarreness from the Sunday shows, etc. And then, by God, I get up today, and what's waiting for me? What was waiting for us? The whole Kurdish betrayal. Holy crap. So, it was announced yesterday, because Nitwit Nero has had I don't know that he actually has these anymore, but he had at least a political not a philosophical. Nitwit Nero has never had a philosophical anything in his entire rotten, misbegotten existence. But he's had a political hankering to hang our allies out to dry in the Middle East. And I feel a little itchy talking about our involvement in the Middle East because, well, if our country had listened to our side of the political aisle, as it were, the liberals, the progressives, we never would have gone into Afghanistan and we never would have gone into Iraq, and if we had never gone into Iraq, we never would have had ISIS, and so we never would have had, dominoes. It's the real domino effect, not the fake one from Southeast Asia back in the 60s and 70s. But along the way, about the only people with the starch to stand up to the religious maniacs of ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever you want to call them, were our allies, the Kurds. And we've hung them out Nitwit Nero has hung them out to dry today, or starting yesterday. And so when he got shit for hanging our allies out to flap in the breeze and submitting them to the tender mercies of the Turks, who, since about the, about the 11th century or so of the Common Era, have been rampaging through that part of the world. I mean, for instance, May the 29th, 1453, that was when the armies of Mehmet II finally breached the walls of Constantinople. A crescent moon hung in the sky, and that is why a crescent moon, and there was also an eclipse, but a crescent moon hung in the sky at that point in time, and that is why that crescent moon appears to this day on the Turkish flag. And they ran in, and they slaughtered everybody they could get their hands on, because that's just how you did business back then. That's not to say they were particularly better or worse at it. The Christian Byzantines had done the same. But, where was I? Yeah. The Turks despise the Kurds, because they never did quite manage to genocide them like they tried to do the Armenians. Out there in the wider world, even suggesting that there was a Turkish genocide of the Armenians will get you a lot of dirty looks from Turkey generally. But more importantly, Turkey is a NATO ally. And we've got air bases in Turkey. In Sarlik, I believe, is one. And according to one unnamed source inside the White House, in a phone call with Erdogan, the dictator of Turkey, the great deal maker got steamrolled. Or actually, he got rolled. Yeah, thank you, Randy, in PA, May 29th, 1453. That's a later discussion, but oddly enough, the fall of Constantinople is in many ways the birth of the Renaissance in Western Europe. Fascinating stuff. Gee, I wonder how many radio programs there are live, progressive, liberal, or even on the other side that are talking about the fall of Constantinople this evening. I warrant this is probably the only one. But he got rolled by Erdogan. At least that's one way of looking at it. It appears that Paul Krugman and I are the only one. I was talking about him last week when I talked about the Frankenstein monster that prevents Republicans from speaking out or defending their oath to the Constitution instead. Well, yeah. What you have to do, though, is you have to look around. Donald Trump never does a goddamn thing that he doesn't think he'll make a nickel out of. Not for the country, for himself. And so this is, you know, this is one of those situations. So somewhere in all of this, by selling out the Kurds, he's going to line his pockets. Or his company will line its pockets. Or Beavis and Butthead. And the Trump sister Dot will line their pockets. Maybe she can start using Turkish slave labor to make shitty handbags or shittier shoes. Don't know, but it'll happen. It'll happen. But the point of it is that when it was announced, even Republicans, even precious Lindsey Graham from issued a stirring rebuke from down underneath the fainting couch there at the ancestral residence of Smoldering Chode, saying that this was terrible. This was terrible. And in point of fact, in one interview, said this was the biggest lie the White House was telling, that ISIS had been thoroughly defeated, and not just thoroughly defeated, but thoroughly defeated by us, the United States. I guess Lindsey hasn't been in a courtroom or really had an honest-to-goodness, no-kidding debate in quite some while, because there was a howling error in what he said. He said, this is the biggest lie. Now, according to Lindsey, when he has his pom-poms out and he's playing cheerleader for Donald Trump, you know, there's no dirty business going on in Ukraine, and nobody told any lies about, about the Russian election interference or anything like that. But he gave that all away in that one statement when he said that this was the biggest lie. In order for there to be a biggest lie, there has to be another lie with which to compare the biggest lie in order to establish its biggestness. So Lindsey actually managed to confess that, yes, this White House is it traffics in untruths and falsehoods, otherwise known as lies. He thinks this one's the biggest one, but I'm not biting. And as soon as Nitwit Nero sends out even the faintest criticism, Lindsay will fold like a cheap suit and not be heard from again. Oh, and by the way, he's promising that the whistleblower, remember the whistleblower, or actually, over the weekend, we now know whistleblowers, that they will
testify in public in the Senate. I promise you that,
he said. You know, the whistleblowers that Trump wants to, that Trump has publicly announced that he wants to have murdered. I'm going somewhere with this. It's been a busy weekend, like I said. So when he gets, when he starts getting shit, even from Republicans, about leaving the Kurds to flap in the breeze, of course he takes to Twitter, where he declares, and get the hockey puck because this is real.
As I have stated strongly before, and just to reiterate, if Turkey does anything that I, in my great and unmatched wisdom, consider to be off limits, I will totally destroy and obliterate the economy of Turkey. I've done before. They must, with Europe and others, watch over, blah, 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 blah.
Now, this is the same Donald Trump who declared himself to be the chosen one, who said that God appointed him to... Right. Well, sometimes it's nice to see the professionals with a big string of alphabet behind their names saying things that we've said for a long time. And that is particularly true in the wake of the...
In my great and unmatched wisdom.
Huh? See, you're torn between, did he actually tweet that, or did he dictate it, or did somebody just write it who's learned how to speak Trump nuttery?
In my great and unmatched wisdom.
Nitwit Nero? Your wisdom is matched. Bigly. It's overmatched. It's swamped. It's buried. You're a moron. Because this is, of course, Moran Monday. So I guess the internet had a lot of fun with that today. But it does point to the fact, as we have discussed on this program... And I'm comfortable, not as some sort of expert, but by virtue of being someone who has tried to navigate the incredibly frustrating and complicated hell of the mental health system, at least in West Virginia, I'm confident saying that I think, in my layman's opinion, that Donald Trump is deeply mentally ill, profoundly mentally ill. And I got a little bit of confirmation today via a fellow by the name of Dr. Daniel Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert is a PhD psychologist at Harvard. Among other things, he hosts a show over on PBS called The Emotional Life. He knows of which, presumably, I mean, he's a real live expert. So in that tweet, you've got the monomaniacal, megalomaniacal ravings of Donald Trump, coupled with an overt threat against a NATO ally. A threat to destroy, obliterate, utterly destroy and obliterate. Redundancy is not a word that Julius Geezer knows. But the combination, the megalomania and the threatening behavior, the grandiose thoughts, prompted Dr. Gilbert to ask the following question. Am I the only psychologist who finds this claim and this threat truly alarming? Wouldn't these normally trigger a mental health hold? Right and left must set aside politics and agree that there is a serious problem here. Well, Dr. Gilbert, to be fair, doesn't have a left problem. I dare say that if Bill Clinton or Barack Obama had ever made public declarations like this, we would have said, in the words of the late great prophet George Carlin, peace be upon him, get him out of here. Check his calendar. It's the fawning, obsequious white wing, scared to death of the Frankenstein monster that they have created, afraid that the maggots will get one of their millions of guns and start taking pot shots at them. That keeps them compliant and quiet. I mean, sure. He called for the impeachment of Willard Romney this weekend. Shh. Don't anybody tell Chlamydia Claudius, but you can't impeach a United States senator. I know. Ben Sasse, that new and different kind of Republican lickspittle, said that we don't take our investigations from Chinese commies. Chinese commies. Yeah, that sure is some new and different rhetoric from a new and different kind of Republican. But here and there, you know, a Republican or two, once the military-industrial complex was involved, decided that they didn't like what Donald Trump was doing. And so they whispered out that they were, noted moderate Susan, who votes like the hardcore white winger Trumpansy maggot there is, Susan Collins. I guess she was disappointed or something. And like I said, Lindsay got his maiden forms in a bunch. But not so much. I mean, won't last. I'm sure he's back under the fainting couch already. With a Darvon and a margarita. But the fact of the matter is, Daniel Gilbert alludes to something when he says, wouldn't these normally trigger a mental health hold? Yes, Doc, they would. And not that it would come to anything, but I think we've reached a point where we have to start using every available means. And so Donald Trump is within the District of Columbia. I've talked about this before. It's time to reiterate it. He is in the District of Columbia, and anyone who has observed his behavior can file, because I'm pretty sure it's not like West Virginia where they'll just screw you over, can file a petition for a mental status exam as long as you can prove that the respondent is either mentally ill or addicted to alcohol or drugs. I would suggest that in this particular case, he is demonstrating clear symptoms of mental illness. Who the fuck else says they're God, the King of Israel? Just asking. Who describes themselves as having
great and unmatched wisdom.
And there's enough information out there to suggest that he may even be addicted to drugs. He's a speed freak. One thing I saw over the weekend, maybe it's been proven to have been photoshopped or it's a fraud or something like that by now. If it is, I haven't seen it yet. Somebody went back and pulled up the photo of him proudly showing off his Cinco de Mayo taco bowl. But the person who got the photo moving, what they pointed out is that there is an open drawer behind him. And that open drawer has box after box after box of Sudafed. Yeah, the same stuff that you have. If I go down to the cut-rate pharmacy, and let's say I'm a little stopped up, I've got a show ID, and they scan the barcode on the back of it in case I try to go somewhere else and buy another box of Sudafed, because that's kind of a dead giveaway that I'm going to go rent a room at the No-Tell Motel and get busy channeling my inner my inner Heisenberg. Yeah. If that photo's real and not photoshopped, and I do not know, why did Trump have a desk drawer full of Sudafed? Which, interestingly, can be crushed up for the refreshing burst of flavor when you, you know, do a couple of rails. Yeah. So, mentally ill and addicted to drugs, okay, that triggers the next line of inquiry. A threat to himself or others. You'll forgive me if I have this sort of tattooed on the inside of my eyelids right now. He just threatened to destroy the economy and megalomaniacally claimed he'd done it before. I don't know whose economy he thinks he's destroyed, except, this one. Which, after a couple of more years of those billionaire tax cut giveaways, will... And it's already happening in the manufacturing sector and so forth. We're giving away more welfare to farmers. The vast majority of that help not going to family farmers, but instead going to corporate agribusiness. Yeah. But he threatened to destroy an economy. He's threatened country after country, North Korea, Iran. That makes him a danger to others. That is enough to qualify the petition. And before you think that I've just completely taken leave of my own senses, which I am hanging on to for all I'm worth right now, the other important aspect of this is it is not a criminal proceeding. And so there is precedent for making presidents subject themselves to non-criminal proceedings. Depositions, for instance. You might recall that. You know, Bill Clinton. You might recall that George Conway, who now tweets against Donald Trump every chance he gets and somehow has yet remained undivorced from Kellyanne Skeletor, which leads me to think that they're playing a good cop, bad cop game. But the larger point George Conway helped establish those principles that said that Bill Clinton could, in fact, be deposed. And so if someone were to get a mental hygiene, a petition, whatever they call it in D.C., then your only then your biggest question is, how do you serve him? And that's another kettle of fish. But it would not be illegal or even contrary to the Office of Legal Counsel guidance to do it. Yeah, over in the chat room, Sparky has just posted the photo. He's sitting there grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush with his Cinco de Mayo taco bowl. And as you're looking at the photo to the right, there's an open drawer that appears to have a shit ton of Sudafed in it. Flavio tells me, you forgot to mention the Sudafed in question is special in that it is imported from the UK, and it's not allowed here because it gets you high and massively dilates your pupils. Well, I'd seen that, but I didn't know that to be fact, so I kind of left that out. Sort of explains the snorting, doesn't it? Hey, Sparky, thanks for posting that in the chat room. I appreciate it. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, the malignant narcissist who controls the largest and deadliest nuclear arsenal in the world, who needs sleep, is the reason why all candidates for at least the presidency and maybe public offices should have to undergo some kind of mental health screening. To show they're competent. And I say this as someone who struggles with mental illness. I know I wouldn't be capable of holding the job, so why should anyone who isn't shown to be competent, why should they be allowed anywhere near it? And I left that part out. Thank you, Renee in D.C. Trump is a long-standing threat to children and teens and other living things. Maybe this needs to be on a poster. Maybe it needs to be, there needs to be some sort of punk guerrilla poster campaign plastering his picture all over D.C. saying, have you seen this man? He needs to be evaluated for mental illness. See, we could get this done through Section 4 of the 25th Amendment if we had people in the White House who were willing to honor their oaths instead of feeling some sense of personal fealty to Donald Trump. Rick Goodhair Perry, being just the latest to find out that being loyal to Trump counts for nothing when it's time to get under the bus. Yeah, that was another thing that happened this weekend. We found out that Rick Goodhair Perry is headed for the door, and he's headed for the door as the latest so-called defense of Trump's activities in Ukraine seemed to be the defense of, no, really, Rick Perry put on his smart guy looking glasses and made me shake down Ukraine. And by the way, the use of the term shakedown, well, it put me in mind of this. Don't tell me this town ain't got no crank, just gotta poke around. Uh-huh. Ah, interesting. Sparky, paying a little more attention to the photo, says that drawer in the picture has a key lock on it. Ah, well, okay. Todd in South Carolina, Stan. You are so wrong. A stable genius is always intellectually steps ahead of the university educated. Well, of course he is, because his genius is the Acme kind of genius, the earthquake pills kind of genius, the jet rocket-powered roller skates kind of genius. Sure. Subject line, future presidents. Megan says, Bob, they not only need a mental health screening, they need to show tax returns for the last 10 years, have a complete physical by an independent doctor, and have absolutely no business ties that would interfere with their doing the job while in office. Well, the emoluments clause is supposed to take part of that, take care of that last part, assuming, of course, that the candidate in question is willing to obey the Constitution. We're kind of missing that part right now. Tax returns is traditional. I think Hillary released 16 years of them or something. And the mental health screening, well, that's where we get that's where we get into trouble. Because there's nothing, the limitations on the qualifications to run for the presidency of the United States. Well, there's only one, two. Natural-born citizen, 44 years old. After that, you're done. It's another one of those cases of the founders and framers sort of assuming things that can no longer be assumed. Regardless of which side they were on, Republican or Federalist, Madison, Hamilton, Franklin, Washington, that crowd, John Jay, George Mason, Gouverneur Morris, they thought we could take it as read that the United States would never dare let a person of questionable sanity near the presidency. Silly framers. Silly founders. They had no idea what was coming at us. Oh, that's a good one. Going back to Flavio. So the Kurds didn't want to investigate Biden either? Yeah, I guess that maybe that's why they're flapping in the breeze. Huh, how about that? Steve in New York says, we can't forget about this vital national interest in Turkey. TrumpIstanbul.com.tr. Huh. Trump Tower, perhaps? Trump Hotel? Trump Falafel in the mail? Don't know. So, yeah. And then there's the business of the tax returns. He lost again this morning. I don't know if you noticed. By the way, this is the first Monday in October. Grab your ankles. Old Balls and Strikes John Roberts and Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer, and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Sammy Bad Breath shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 yards running away from you when he doesn't even pose a threat to the law officer. Alito and N's boy Neil are back in town and back on the bench. Mm-hmm. With one noted absence today. They all got together and had their ceremonial first day of court. And Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, the most conservative member of the court was absent. It was explained that he's not feeling well. And I might very well make you chomp down on the hockey puck with this one. But you know what? I hope he feels better real soon. You're probably right now, what, Bob? No, I do. I don't want Slappy Clarence, Slappy Pubes on the Coke Can, Slappy Thomas getting all sick and upping and dying or anything. He's up in his 70s. And he needs to stay right where he is until we can get a Democrat in the White House. Because the last thing in the world we need, you know, because if you think about it, well, okay, I mean, it's just another right winger, so it wouldn't be a net gain or anything, but it would be, because the Federalist Society, that dirty lot of pettifogging scumbags, would make certain that Nitwit Nero appointed, I don't know, some child prodigy who graduated from Harvard Law at 13 and a fucking half, and would sit on the Supreme Court for the next 80 years. It's just the way I've been taught to think since January the 20th, 2017. I really can't help it. So get well soon, Slappy. And it's going to be a tough term for those of us who value the Constitution and the rights of, well, anybody who's not a white male gazillionaire or a toxic poison-pumping corporation. This may be the term, among other things, where we see the end of Roe versus Wade, and where we see an outright statement that trans people have absolutely no rights in the public sphere. Like I said, grab your ankles. Steve in New York says, oh, dear, dear Bob, there are three conditions to be president. 35 years old, natural born, have lived in the country for 14 consecutive years. I missed that. I missed the 14 consecutive years. Ron jumped in and, yeah, not 44, 35. Omaha. I'm sorry. Like I said, probably not at the top of my game. But thanks just the same to Charlene in Rhode Island, who says, especially fine program tonight, Bob. Here's $20 toward the mental health challenge. So there's $30 to go on Rico and DeBerg's mental health challenge, and hopefully that'll get knocked out. And that'll, I'll take it all together, and let's see. That'll leave only $75 to finish fundraising for the evening. So that's pretty huge. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very, very kindly. That's the first response to Rico's challenge. Yeah, Jim, that's a pretty concise statement of it. Clear and present danger to all, Donald Trump. I mean, if you're a living thing on the planet. Oh, speaking of which, this past weekend was cuddleable, huggable, lovable Pootie's birthday. State-run media in Russia put out video of manly, bare-chested Pootie. Well, he actually had a long-sleeve shirt and looked like a down vest of some sort on. And he was up above 6,000 feet above mean sea level. And in Mother Russia, when Pootie goes above mean sea level is truly mean. because he went up there. No, wait. He went up there mushroom hunting. Because I guess October in Siberia is mushroom season? Or so we were told. Here's a question for the Horn Family Community Congregation. Would you ever eat a mushroom that Pooty Poot, the old KGB spook, had picked? Because I wouldn't. I mean, we love our mushrooms here in the hills and hollers. Morels in particular, but, you know, oyster mushrooms. But, you know, you pick the wrong one and, well, cancel Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was quite the big deal. Pooty turned 67. He went to mountains above Yenisei River in Siberia to forage for wild mushrooms with Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu. The video shows them peeking and then sniffing mushrooms. Then, in Russian, you hear, "Oh my God, tracers." Pooty said, "We have climbed up above the clouds." They had a four-wheeler with them. Then they took a helicopter ride. In Mother Russia, they call mushrooms the quiet haunt. It's a big deal. Can come in handy if it just so happens you have sautéed mushrooms and offer them to friend who you might not be actually so big friend with. And make sure they take first bite. Of course. Going back to Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas. Rather than get well soon, Stephen New York says, I'd opt for, hey, Slappy, don't die yet. Hang in there. Yeah, right. But tomorrow, I said this is going to be a momentous session of the court. Beginning tomorrow, the question of the LGBTQ community's essential rights to be LGBT or Q and still have a job will be heard. And then there's the quantum question, how much can you discriminate against a member of the LGBTQ community? I fully expect to see an opinion some sort of a statement from Brat Kavanaugh, who mysteriously, we all remember, had all his debts disappear and nobody knows quite how. I expect him to concur somewhere along the way and say, how much can you discriminate against the LGBTQ community? A lot! Uh-huh. And because, well, the information lockdown in the modern era is what it is, the only thing they would say was that Slappy was absent due to illness, a court spokeswoman later saying that he likely has the flu. Among other things, the court has said it's not going to cancel arguments on the lawsuit by gun fetishists and the New York State branch of the National Ruble Association against New York City, having to do with the transportation of firearms from outside one's home in New York to, say, a shooting range or whatever. New York tried to just make the case go away by repealing the damn law. But no, the ideologues on the Supreme Court decided that, by God, they're going to hear the case anyway, even though there's no more case to hear. Which, if you're paying attention, and the Horn Family Community Congregation always does, sort of means that the court, now there's no sort of to it, this is what it means, the court is going to abandon its own legal standards. Because one of the most fundamental rules of getting a case in front of the federal bench, including the Supreme Court, is that you must have a case and controversy. And it must be ripe for decision. And it cannot be moot. Well, guess what? The city ordinance that the gun humpers are so thoroughly aggrieved over doesn't exist anymore. So how is there a case? How is there a controversy? Hint, there's not. So, in an act of sublime absurdity, we're probably going to wind up with the hardcore shoot 'em if you got 'em wing of the court holding that New York cannot do something that New York never claims, no longer claims, any legal right to do. My God, that's silly. Oh, but even though Slappy wasn't on the bench today, he's still going to take part in the decision process regarding the cases that they heard today.
Uh-huh.
Among other things that they heard today, because the goddess of irony never sleeps, the first argument of the day today had to do with the insanity defense. The case comes out of Kansas. It's a statute that was passed in 1996. And for all intents and purposes, it prevents a defendant charged with a crime from arguing, from putting forward a straightforward insanity defense. Instead, defendants must argue that due to mental illness, they could not have intended to commit the crime. And of course, this is not some sort of mere academic matter. The person whose case it is, a guy by the name of James Craig Collar, he's awaiting execution for a murder committed in 2009 of four members of his family. James Craig Collar took a rifle, blew away his wife and two teenage daughters, but refrained from blowing away his 9-year-old son although he did waste his wife's grandmother. He had a diagnosis of major clinical depression, an obsessive personality disorder, and a defense expert said that he was so mentally ill that he lost control of his actions. But because of the statute in Kansas, he was barred from claiming that he was not guilty by reason of insanity. Well, you and I probably both know how this case is going to shake out. The Kansas Supreme Court said, nah, hell, go ahead and kill him anyway. I don't expect any good to come of anything this court does in this term or any term between now and whenever we somehow fix the manifest unconstitutional injustice that was perpetrated back when Merrick Garland was appointed and Moscow Mitch McConnell decided that the Constitution didn't apply to him. The flu, you say? Asks Ron in Raleigh. Perhaps it's a resurgence of the Spanish influenza of 1917. We can only speculate. Based on the description of the defendant, Mr. Collar, in the Kansas case, Scott in San Diego suggests, hell, Bob, that's Trump cabinet material if I've ever heard it. That's worth a cowbell, Scott. Jim says, frightening, considering the purview of this court. 9 people. Why? Well, the number of Supreme Court justices is not set, but we like to have an odd number so you can't have ties. Because ties just apply only... The ability to have ties prevents the court from speaking to issues of law on a national basis. For instance, if it was a 4-4 tie in the Kansas case, it would strike down... It would mean that the Kansas Supreme Court order saying, what the hell, kill him, stood. The tie goes to the winner below. It could be 9, it could be 5, it could be 7. Most people looking at the idea of reforming the court, and I realize that Bernie disagrees with this, but most people looking at the idea of reforming the court by Congress, they think that 13 would be a pretty good number. Add 4 more justices, preferably by a Democrat. And then add 4 more, let all 4 current so-called liberal, when there's no such thing as a liberal Supreme Court justice, just a reminder, but let them retire and go out and look for your own 13-and-a-half-year-old recent Harvard grad prodigies to put on the bench. So that maybe they'll be there long enough to unfuck the country. Now, let's not be that way, Randy. Randy in PA says, tell me more about Justice Buckwheat. Kyle, sigh. So the court's going to say it's okay to kill people who are incapable of understanding what they actually did. In some ways, such as how we treat mental illness and those who struggle with it, I have a hard time seeing how this is a so-called developed country. Well, I tend not to use the word civilized in regard to this country anymore. Oh, but back a whole bunch of minutes ago, I mentioned Trump's taxes. And he got up this morning, and maybe this is why he started, part of why he started treating the, or tweeting the megalomaniacal, let's get grandpa to the, let's get grandpa to his hearing stuff, you know.
Because of my tremendous, powerful, extra super double plus good wisdom.
Because he didn't just lose, he lost big. He lost in federal court in the Southern District of New York. Maybe it wasn't in the Southern District. But anyway, you'll recall that the DA in Manhattan had subpoenaed about 8 years. No, yes, it was 8 years. 8 years worth of tax records from Trump, the Trump Organization, and various and sundry sleazy shell corporations. And the federal court said, nope, Donnie, you lose again. Because the court was actually following established precedent. It was the Southern District of New York. He sued to prevent his accountants from following the law and honoring the subpoena that had been dropped on them by Cyrus Vance Jr., the Manhattan District Attorney. They're actually investigating, no kidding, whether the Trump Organization dummied up a bunch of business records when they made the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. I think I finally just remember. I never remember her name. You know, she's the one. Well, so is Stormy Daniels, that Trump turned around all sweaty like and looked at him and said, "You were great. You remind me of Ivanka." Karen McDougal even sort of developed a schoolgirl crush on him. And then he broke her heart. Two hours later, the pettifoggers for the Trump Organization appealed to the Second Circuit. And in those two, after those two, the district court said, yeah, okay, we'll stay the order pending expedited review. Because as it stood, Mazars had to start coughing up records earlier this afternoon. Well, that's now on hold. It'll go up to the Second Circuit. Hopefully, the Second Circuit will say, nope, sorry, you're still losing. And then it'll go to the Supreme Court of the United States, where he hopes the fix is in with old Balls and Strikes and Ann's boy Neil and shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 feet away, even though he's no threat to the officer, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, and, you know, the gang, where hopefully they will do his filthy bidding for him. And, you know, it really won't worry them that much because, hell, if there's ever a Democrat in office and somebody wants to get their records, they'll just come back and old Balls and Strikes and Brat and Ann's boy Neil and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy and Sammy Bad Breath will say, well, this is certainly a different case. This is not at all like the Trump case because, well, obviously that guy's a Democrat and fuck him. You know, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. You know, one of these days I expect one of those assholes to actually sign a concurring opinion that says nothing but I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Hey, Tracy, I'm just going to say ew, because for once I'm going to take it easy on dinner in the Central Time Zone. Scott? Scott in San Diego pointing out, on the other hand, the Supreme Court sometimes gets one right. They rejected SDG&E's appeal to pass $379 million in wildfire costs on to ratepayers. Going back to the 2007 wildfires that roared through San Diego County, where there are a lot of Republicans and a lot of Republican money. Just say it. I don't think so. Randy in PA says, any relation to Susan McDougal of the Clinton years? No, I don't believe so. I've never seen any reference to it, if that is in fact the case. So, as is always the case, what we have with the latest the tax returns case is a delaying action that merely hopes to get him to a point where he can win re-election and stay one step ahead of the jailer for another 4 years, at which point they'll run some Republican who will then pardon him for everything. See how it works. You begin to get a sense for why it is my head hurts. I mean, I got other reasons. I've had a headache since Tuesday. Eating ibuprofen like M&Ms. News Ninja Gene asking, sorry to be so thick. You're not thick. But isn't it unconstitutional for SCOTUS to make a retroactive ruling? No. I'm not entirely exactly sure what you're asking, but they do that all the time when they reverse and remand. They reverse the court below and send it back for them to rule according to the opinion that they've written. I mean, that's kind of retroactive. But with the New York State thing or the New York City thing, and the guns, it's just that there's no longer any case there. There's nothing to rule on. If every gun owner in New York decided to pack up and properly store their firearms and take them somewhere to shoot at a shooting range, the city of New York couldn't say a damn thing about it. Because they no longer have a statute against it. And precisely, as Arnold points out, with the well-being of Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, where he's concerned, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. Exactly. Oh, and while we're at it, and since it's Moran Monday, just a quick observation and a nomination to the fine folks in the marketing department at MSNBC. Because there I was, there we were, Agnes and me, engaged in our filthy morning habit, watching Joe and Mika, the things that Agnes says about Mika, my God, does she know her value yet? Things like that. And they go to break. Well, okay. I mean, it was already a busy Monday by 6 o'clock because it'd been a loopy, busy weekend. But we went to break, and lo and behold, son of a gun, bless my soul, there it was. They're running a Trump 2020 ad on Morning Joe. And it wasn't I dare say, just because of the positioning of the ad, that wasn't a local avail. Because, among other things, AT&T TV Now, which used to be DirecTV Now, doesn't seem able to sell ads for beans. No, this was a network avail. And it was all about, you know, we need a tough man for a tough... Hell, if it had had somebody doing a John Wayne impression for the voiceover, it wouldn't have been out of place. It was nuts. And so we're both sitting there looking at each other and looking at the screen and looking back at each other and kind of got our mouths hanging open, catching flies. I mean, at least it's colder now, so the flies aren't a problem. That's just gross. And I think we both yelled, "What the fuck," at the same time. And it's just one of those moments when you realize the degree to which for-profit cable news channels, the degree to which they are kissing cousins at the very most remote with professional wrestling. Oh, sure. Joe and Mika are all anti, you know, never Trumpers now, hoping that someday we'll manage to forget how they fell all over themselves trying to get him to come on the air and say loopy, crazy, mean-spirited, evil shit back when they didn't think he was ever going to manage to be president. And today in particular, they had been pretty hard on Nitwit Nero. But then they went to break, and everything they said about him was washed away in a haze of advertising. You got to remember, other kinds of ads have been rejected for, say, the Super Bowl or award shows or what have you, for nothing more than being mildly controversial. But they'll take that Trump dollar, because that's a big dollar. And if this morning was any indication, I may lose my filthy morning habit. Because I don't think I can take a Trump ad every morning of my life from now until November 2020. No, 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 no. And it was so over the top. But here, you know, there's probably several entire floors of nothing but Herb Tarlick clones there at Rockefeller Center. And they do nothing all day long but scramble to find another drug manufacturer, you know, another drug to that they'll warn you may cause, you know, harbulary nose hair follicle cancer or something like that. And along the way, if somebody comes along and says, "Hey, we got 60 seconds of pure, unadulterated lies, but we'll pay you a shit ton to run them." That bunch there in the marketing department says, "How are you going to pay?" "Oh, we're paying cash. Run it." And then another one walks in and says, "Hey, we've got a new product here. We call it Kitty Zyke." "Kitty Zyke?" "Yeah, it's pediatric cyanide." "How are you going to pay?" "Cash." "Run it." Kids getting you down. Just drop one of these tablets in a little bucket and, well, doggone it, you won't have those problems anymore. It's Kitty Zyke. pediatric cyanide for the psychopathic homicidal maniac parent. They'd run that ad. Long as the check cleared. Because profit. Because capitalism. I saw an article today where a woman claims that she was let go over at Sirius XM because she wrote an article about the fact that the big money at Sirius XM are all Trump donors. Oh, sure, they got Sirius XM progress, but that's just because they want to work both sides of the street. But when the rubber meets the road, they're maggots, through and through, pure and simple. And see, here's where you find out, and it's a kind of a philosophical thing. It's a device that the multimillionaires who appear on camera use to make them feel like they're not part of the problem. Joe and Mika will never say a goddamn word about that filthy cesspit of lies that ran on their air this morning. Why? Because their checks keep clearing. That's why. And if they dared say something about it, they'd be on the carpet of the head honcho yesterday. Sure doesn't look like I thought you people enjoyed your little morning show down there. It sure doesn't seem like you like it. I mean, you realize those Trump ads help pay your salary, don't you, dickhead? And so they'll pretend it didn't happen. They'll never say a word about it. And if they are ever questioned about it, they'll say, well, you know, we're only responsible for the part of the program when the cameras are on us, you know, when we're actually on air. And we're totally separate and apart from the advertising department. That's their air. And we don't make any editorial decisions about what ads run and what ads. Oh, in other words, you have no fucking morals. No scruples, no ethics. But then again, why would we have ever thought you did? Ta-da! So we've got that for a Moran nomination. Oh, holy shit, I'm glad I didn't. Ralphs says, imagine watching football last night and seeing that Trump ad every 30 minutes. Puke! Ooh, I saw it once, and that was enough. Dear God, is it gonna be safe for me to catch the rest of the Browns and Niners after the program's over tonight? I mean, granted, that's ESPN/ABC Disney Mouse, whatever, and that was NBC Sunday Night Football. But these viruses spread. They damn sure spread. Scott in San Diego says, prescription side effects? My favorite prescription drug side effect, well, not favorite, but one that fascinates me, may be caused by a drug whose name I don't recall, but if you take whatever it is, there's a chance you'll develop a rare, possibly fatal, infection in your perineum. I had to look it up. Ew. My Lord, what could possibly cause such a side effect to be that goddamned localized? Again, ew! And it goes all the way back to, the great comedian, Robert, 70s, you know, kind of hip out there. He used to do a fake drug ad. It was a fake PSA for the Jergens Myasthenia Foundation, a mysterious and crippling disease in which your nose mysteriously slides off. Jergens Myasthenia. Robert, come on. Well, the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will have the last name here in short order. Note from Jimmy. That's a nice show you got there, Joe. Be a shame if something happened to it. And yes, Kyle, absolutely. Kyle noting these are the same assholes that gave Trump free airtime anytime he wanted during the last presidential campaign and never challenged him on his lies and bullshit. They don't get to pretend they're washing their hands of this now because he turned out to be just like we all knew he would as president. Flavio showing his true colors. Trump ad. I was watching the Packers versus the Cowpies at the Rivoli Theater and Pizzeria in La Crosse with friends. When the ad came up, everybody in the theater booed. I love La Crosse. Sounds like a lovely, lovely place. Robert Klein, thank you. Thank you, Scott in San Diego. It was Robert Klein. Dave reporting from the blind. Going cold? Maybe what you need is a Morning Joe patch. There are no commercials with the patch once your significant other goes to the store and purchases them over the counter. And no, I will not forgive Joe or the blonde that they were willing to lap. Is her name Elbow? They were willing to lap up all of Donnie's BS and gave him hundreds of millions of dollars worth of free unadulterated airtime. I even remember when they were considering getting married that Trump had offered to let them get married at the White House and said that he, Donald, would be happy to preside over the happy occasion. And Mika said, no. That's probably a pretty good strategy. Randy in PA says, as I flip through my broadcast channels, I refuse to pay for cable TV. I keep saying to the commercials and content, that's a channel changer, click. Or in the worst case, that's a channel turner offer. Agnes and I did start watching, because we talked about it, y'all reminded me on Friday. We started watching the third installment of Goliath. The first two were fairly straightforward. This one almost has what I would call a Twin Peaksy flavor to it, because I'm having a hard time figuring out when people are hallucinating and when they're not. I suspect that's a plot device, but it's a little bit annoying. Ah, yes, Brother Deacon Asa nails it. Like the Saudi scumbags, Trump campaign pays cash, Bob. Sweet, sweet cash. So here we are at the halfway point of the program. And we've got... $30 to go on Rico's challenge. And he'll kick in another 25 after that, if it's met. So we got $30 to go on Rico's challenge, and that would leave 75 to go to finish fundraising for the evening. And hopefully that won't be long in happening. Got anything on your mind? Well, if you do, just holler. I'm double checking right now to make sure that the stress line is appropriately connected. And, of course, you can always reach via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn, and you'll be right in the thick of things. We love new callers, and we love callers we haven't heard from in a long time, and we love our conversations that we have with folks who are a big part of this program on a regular basis. So whatever works, you're welcome to jump in. There is still Sweet Jesus, this is a technical term, a shit ton of material to cover. Oh, my own sister's sending me food porn now. Pictures of fried crab claws from the Gulf. Ouch. Very true, Arnold. Very true. So now, back to the bizarreness that was Sunday. No. Before we do that, first this. Because it's almost impossible to imagine at least once upon a time, it was impossible to imagine that something like this would ever happen. But it did. It's taking a minute here. There we go. I'm just going to roll the audio, and then we'll play Guess the Network, okay? Oh, and like I said, just a reminder, while these people are out there, they'll sit there and tell you how awful Nitwit Nero is, then they'll run an ad for him. I'm proud of the fact that you're never, ever, 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 ever going to have to worry about that happening here. And so it would be nice if we could finish off Rico's challenge, because it was very kindly and warmly and lovingly made. But, over there, headon.live, contribute tab, etc. Now this.
Just say what they want from the closed-door session anyway.
I got it, but we need a couple more weeks.
A public hearing. Why is that necessary? We have the transcripts. We know exactly what the president said. And you look at the Sunday talk shows this week, you have journalists that are trying to browbeat senators into somehow thinking they have to vote for impeachment.
Now, that's a guy named David Avella. He's the chairman of GOPAC. He is a maggot of the First Order. And what he considers to be browbeating was poor Chuck Todd finally, I guess, getting to that point where he just couldn't stand it anymore, where he was just on the verge of starting to hoot like a barn owl. He had Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. He works in the lumber mills there. He walks down the street, and all the people he meets, they say, "Hey, what's your name?" And he says, "My name is Ron Johnson. I work in Wisconsin. I live in Wisconsin. I work in the lumber mills there." It's an old whiskey. Never mind. The old rhyme was actually, "My name is Jan Janssen." Never mind. I heard it as a kid. One of those neurons. So, Chuck Todd actually got Ron Johnson to say that he was kind of disturbed about all the Ukraine and China, why don't y'all investigate the Bidens and all of that bullshit. And then he realized that he had committed heresy and that one of the maggots might come after him with one of their millions of firearms. Because that's how maggots are. And so he started backpedaling and this happened.
You know, I have my third letter into the Inspector General of the Intelligence Committee asking to just confirm, are you investigating those leaks that Peter Strzok talked about in that text?
All right, Senator, I have no idea
that's
He's like half a synapse away from shrieking, but her emails. This happened Sunday, and Ron Johnson is trying to talk about Peter Strzok, who never spied on anybody, and arguably did nothing wrong. But this is after having said that maybe what Trump did wasn't so so star-spangled awesome.
It is entirely relevant to this point.
Why a Fox News conspiracy propaganda stuff is popping up on here, I have no idea why we're going here.
Senator, I'm asking why President Trump is upset and why his supporters are upset at the news media.
This guy,
Ron Johnson, is so goddamn dumb. I mean, it beggars belief when you have to ponder the fact that this guy managed to beat an intelligent human being like, not like, but Russ Feingold. Not once, but twice. It kind of makes you want to get your inner Attenborough, and just go and observe Republican Wisconsinians for some sort of goddamn documentary. Did you hear him? Chuck Todd said, Senator Johnson, please. And he said it fiercely. Well, not fiercely, but forcefully. Well, no, not forcefully, forcefully, but more than mildly, which is about the most you're ever going to get out of Chuck Todd. Phew. And I mean, Chuck's up there waving his hand on the screen and stuff. He's finally found something up with which he will not put. Nope.
Please answer the question that I asked you instead of trying to make Donald Trump feel better here that you're not criticizing
him.
I'm just trying to ask you a simple question of what made you wince. I'm asking a simple question about you clearly were upset that somehow there was an implication that military aid was being frozen because the president wanted an investigation. Why did you wince?
Because I didn't want those connected. And I was supporting the aid, as is Senator Murphy, as is everybody that went to that initial inauguration. But here's the salient point of why I came forward. When I asked the president about that, he completely denied it. He adamantly denied it. He vehemently, angrily denied it. He said, I'd never do that.
And then he admitted it on TV. Holy God. He admitted it on TV.
With all due respect, I mean, they're scrambling over there in the House Intel Committee trying to figure out a way to take testimony from the whistleblowers without outing them, so that none of the godforsaken maggots on the committee can turn around and run and drop the dime to Godfather Donnie and have the whistleblower wind up wearing cement shoes at the bottom of the Potomac. Because after all, remember, Donnie said he wanted them investigated for treason, and a conviction of treason carries the death penalty. Donnie, Sudafed Caesar, wants the whistleblowers dead. But now, the whistleblowers don't really matter, because he confessed on live TV before the entire nation. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
That is the piece of the puzzle I'm here to report today, that unlike the narrative of the press, that President Trump wants to dig up dirt on his 2020 opponent, what he wants is an accounting of what happened in 2016. Who set him up? Did things spring from Ukraine?
Who set him up? He set him up. You know, what did the Russian folks say to Beavis? We want to bring you some dirt on Hillary? And what did Beavis say in reply? If it's what you say it is, I love it. He wasn't set up. Well, okay, back up. There may be a little confession in there. Oopsie. Sorry, Ron. The setup didn't happen in 2016, though. The setup happened at the Miss Universe pageant when they offered Donnie whatever weird, freaky shit got him off. Whether it was having sex workers pee on the bed where Barack and Michelle slept while he, Donnie, watched. Or as some have more darkly hinted at, whether there was even seamier, sleazier, filthier, far more evil stuff done involving little girls. Little girls, like Epstein Little, who just happened to look like, and all God's children in the congregation said, Ivanka! If there was a setup, that was the setup. How do you set up Carter Page? Did the Australian ambassador say, now I've got some of this really, really potent wine I brought with me over in the diplomatic pouch. I'm gonna give it to Carter Page, and he's gonna get shit faced drunk. And no, that doesn't work because Carter Page was telling stuff. So Crocodile Kincaid's out.
There's a good piece we've got an oversight letter on from Politico in 2017. Where let me quote the article. It says, Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump. They did so by disseminating documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption, suggesting they were investigating the matter. Ukrainian officials also reportedly helped Clinton allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors. There is potential interference in the 2016
campaign.
Let me ask
you this.
That's what Trump wants to get to the bottom of, but the press doesn't want to.
Ambassador,
the people who wrote this article are being pilloried. I'm being called a conspiracy theorist. John Solomon.
Well, no, Ron, what you're being called is a fucking moron. But that's only because you are, buddy. You know, you do you. And poor Chuck out there at the end of his rope. The one day that he felt that tiny little tingling, that last remaining spark as an heir to Huntley, Brinkley, Chancellor. And this is when it happens.
Being called a conspiracy theorist because the press is horribly biased and Trump and his supporters completely understand that.
I understand that the way to avoid answering a question is to attack us in the press. I'm well aware of that,
and that's
how it works.
Yes. So we had that, and that's what the that led Julius Geezer to tweet.
Sleepy eyes, Chuck Todd of Meet the Press.
I thought Sleepy Eyes was Ben Carson. Well, I guess he's not using that anymore, so it's okay.
Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd of Meet the Press had a total meltdown in his interview with highly respected Senator at Ron Johnson, W.I.
Highly respected by who? How quickly we forget. This is the guy that that Hillary absolutely destroyed.
Seems that a not very bright Chuck just wasn't getting the answers he was looking for in order to make me look as bad as possible. I did nothing wrong.
Ron and Raleigh pointing out, you doesn't have to call me Johnson. Not only is Ron Johnson dumber than a bag of hammer handles, Ron says hammers, I say hammer handles. He is a past master of the world-class Gish Gallop. I have never heard this jag-off answer a question asked of him. And you'll grow old waiting if you choose so to do. Megan, biting through the hockey puck, says, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. This is why I turned my TV off on Sunday morning, because I literally cannot turn on any news channel that doesn't have these Republican fuckwits screaming into the screen about their latest delusional version of reality. Whenever will we learn that we should not govern according to the stupid? Yes, yes, let us turn to stupid chapter. In other words, let's get back to David Avella of GoPack.
If you looked at that Chuck Todd interview with Ron Johnson trying to make a valid point, and he gets browbeat by Chuck Todd, that somehow there's an element, there are those in the media who want to persuade Republican senators that they somehow have to vote for impeachment. It's the only honorable thing to do, and that there can't be an alternate view.
Let's look at the facts here. What the first whistleblower said matched the report of the call that Donald Trump released. They match. Now we're about to have a second whistleblower call who has firsthand information about that same topic. So what is Lindsey Graham going to say, or any other Republican going to say, when that happens and he confirms it? So the facts are the facts are the facts. And Lindsey Graham knows that the whistleblower law allows protection of people to bring these claims against more powerful people. That's why we have that law. Otherwise, you get browbeaten into not saying things or risk your life.
I got a feeling she's never coming back again.
What happened to...
Because here's the giveaway. This is a back and forth on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. America's newsroom. That's kind of like saying graduated first in his class at West Point.
Christine Blasey Ford. She wasn't a whistleblower, but she did not want to come forward. She got outed. And look at her life now.
She came forward and she got to make her case, and as the Senate then had to cast their vote. And we would be remiss if we didn't note that today is the first day of the Supreme Court session, and it is the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's Republican-led Senate who has approved a record number of federal judges.
I would just make the final point. I mean, you're talking about a hurry-up offense, right?
Right.
I mean, for Washington, this is warp speed. This
right.
thing just happened in late July. So I think they're already in the hurry-up offense.
And
I think the question as to whether or not they get this vote done by Thanksgiving, I think it's a wide-open issue right now.
That's Bill Hemmer. Bill Hemmer started out at CNN as a fresh-faced Jimmy Olsen type who wore thick... Well, now he's more of a Clark Kent type with the thick glasses. They brought him over to Fox. They got him some LASIK surgery. And while they were in there, they stuck that Egyptian spoon right up his nose, scooped out his frontal lobe, and there he is. Fox News's preeminent morning midday news dweeb.
I've not even heard the defense on behalf of the White House. Let me just make one more point in all this. Why not have the hearings open so that we can make our own judgments about what they're finding out?
I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. Open hearings. Yeah. And I'm sure he wants to see the whistleblower, and he wants to maybe dox him on air, and or her. Yeah. Now comes Chris Steierwalt. I've been familiar with him for a number of years because, for some reason or another, here in almost level West by Cold Trump Genius Stand, our right-wing statewide news network, which is headed by one of the most stunning. He's not terrible doing football, but God, what a pathetic little bootlick Hoppy Kirchival is. But for some reason or another, he gets Chris Steigerwalt on the radio from time to time, because Chris Steigerwalt is now the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda politics editor, who apparently doesn't want to have a job anymore.
Because there's no record of it, Chris. It's just lawmakers coming to the microphone and giving their spin, be it right or left.
There is a record for those committees, even as they meet without television cameras present. I love television cameras. They're wonderful. And thank you for paying my children's tuition.
That
having
honest.
Been said, this is an okay. We are early in this process, number one. And number two, the whistleblower doesn't matter anymore, right? The whistleblower is substantially irrelevant. The president confessed on television. He said, I did it. I did. And then he added China to it, which sort of obviates the question about, is there a whistleblower? Isn't there a whistleblower? The press needs stuff every day to feed the bulldog, right? Every day you got to make a living out there, and every day you need something to try to move this story forward. But it's, right now it all looks pretty simple. There are enough Democrats to vote to impeach the president, I'm sure, and they're going to impeach him on something that's pretty straightforward.
They're going to impeach him on something that's pretty straightforward. And so the more straightforward it is, the more the maggots have to struggle to make it convoluted, to make sure that Emery and Marvelline, sitting in the matching Barca loungers there at the Swan Lake Ballerina Country Club and Trailer Park, don't get it. But still, it felt like kind of an earth tilting on its axis moment to hear that a couple of people at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda are actually allowed to say what we all know. The stupid fucker confessed. I mean, he didn't even wait till the end of the trial like Perry Mason and jump up and say, I did it
with my little hammer.
No. He's confessing at the beginning of the mystery. And Chris Steigerwalt is not going to suddenly rip his dress shirt open to display his Bernie or Bust T-shirt or anything. Fuck no. But it's still kind of, surprising to hear something like that. Subject line, what the hell? Ron in Raleigh says, I haven't heard any of these guys mention George Soros. They're falling down on the job. You can't present a conspiracy theory without George Soros. Oh, I kind of wish you hadn't made me whisper that into the ear of the universe. Nah, it's out there. It's out there. You probably just have to go to some of the seedier neighborhoods of the white wing internet, and it has to percolate a while. It's weird how stories have to percolate. CNN today had a story about Uyghurs in China, and it's sickening. The human rights violations. Dozens, if not hundreds of men with their heads shaven, on their knees in a concentration camp with blindfolds on. Because the Chinese government is hell-bent on making sure that they keep Islam in check, because the Uyghurs are Muslim. And they're scared to death that somebody might start hollering Aloha Snack Bar, and the next thing you know, the hordes are pouring into Beijing. And it is a brutal crackdown. The thing is, the video that CNN was relying on has been out for two and a half, three weeks. And that's how long it took to percolate into the for-profit media. What's that, Silent R. Lamar? Now, Bob. Okay, that's that Silent R. Lamar. You're going to have to deal with Ron. We in the Nutt family are opposed to the term "he's a nut" pertaining to Mr. Johnson. I, Mr. Peanut, along with Mr. Walnut, would like you to refer to Mr. Johnson as a tweet. Please leave us fruits and nuts out of it. You can call him granola. They're not in our family tree. Love, Mr. Peanut. I understand. I'll make a note of it. Yeah, going all the way back to Jika and Mo, as Steve in New York refers to them. Okay, they fucked up when they filleted the world's smallest brain. They didn't beg forgiveness for their egregiousness, so yeah, no forgiveness here. I got a feeling tomorrow creeps each day in its creepy pace. We're going to see lots of those ads. So here we are at the top of the beginning of the third hour. Still got $30 to go to finish Rico's challenge. $75 after that to stay on top of things. And hopefully that'll happen. Deficits suck. But that being the case, and the fact being that I have filibobstered for two solid hours, let's run over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes.
Jimmy, I'm on the stress line. Am I on the stress line?
You're on the stress line.
Is this happening? How can these things be? Oh, Lord.
Mirabile dictu.
Someone, and I'm not real good when I'm only on like one cup of coffee so far, I'd remember names of the people who write in. But someone said they just cannot bring themselves to watch Sunday morning TV.
Yeah, that was Megan.
Yeah, I understand. They've been part of my weekly Sunday morning routine for as far back as I can remember. I mean, I go back to the Lawrence Spivak era of Meet the Press, you know, back in the 60s, for Christ's sake. And I never used to like Face the Nation, but in its newer incarnation, it's a better show when it expanded to an hour. I liked This Week with David Brinkley on ABC with Cokie and Sam and all the rest of them, but I'm not real fond of George Snuffleupagus or whatever. Okay, but I'll watch it occasionally. Just for, you know, giggles. But I think my tolerance stems from having grown the Beltway and paying attention to these asshats over the years. And by asshats, I don't necessarily mean the hosts or moderators. I mean some of the guests. I have often wondered when a guest comes on and deliberately engages in just utter nonsense. Let's say you're Chuck, and you ask me, well, what about Trump and this whistleblower scandal? Okay, ask me that, Chuck.
Well, Senator, what about Trump and this whistleblower scandal?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Chuck. You see, the president.
I see what you did there.
Has
up, Chuck.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even mean to do that, but it does make you wanna, you know, when you think about it. But they very rarely will answer the question that was put to them. And I think these programs need to have a hard and fast rule and give them three opportunities to fuck up. And then after the three opportunities, take them off the guest list. I used to think that, well, if they did that, They wouldn't, it would just be the panel. There wouldn't be any guests. But I think, you know, cats and dogs and monkeys and creatures can be you know, conditioned to behave appropriately. I certainly politicians are capable on some level of being coached to behave responsibly. That thing with Ron Johnson, you know, if it had been a little bit later in the year, and I don't know if you'll get this reference, but if it had been in that period of time between Thanksgiving and New Year, I was half expecting him to break in to a rendition of "I Just Go Nuts at Christmas." You know that tune?
I do. Yes.
Jorgi Jorgensen. You know, Jesus, this guy was just completely off the twig.
But you have to understand at the outset that Ron Johnson is a sort of a known quality or a known quantity, Scott.
Yeah.
When you're the enterprising, hard charging booker at Meet the Press, and you get Ron Johnson on, it means that you've already gone deep into the Rolodex. And you've got a lot of no thanks, but I've got to do. I'm doing my hair that morning.
Yeah.
Even from senators who have none. So it's not gonna play. It's not gonna end well. But the second part, it's actually the first part, is the of your inquiry, is the issue of access. As I've said 100 times, if I've said it once, with these guys like Chuck Todd and George Snuffleupagus, access is the coin of the realm. They make
their access to the guests.
Yes, their
guests.
Their access to people who play with power.
Yeah.
And so if they're hard on them, if they make them sweat, they live in mortal fear that they'll never get any really awesome groovy guests anymore, and that means that they won't generate any hip happening sound bites anymore, and then they'll become irrelevant, and then they're gone.
Well, that's what I was saying.
And there's actually a quote from 2017 by Chuck Todd confessing exactly that.
Oh, okay.
You can't press them, you can't beat them up, because the next thing you know, nobody will come on your show anymore, which is exactly what you said. The next thing you know, it's nothing but the panel.
Yeah. And the commercials for the, you know, for the Boeing planes and, you know, GE bringing good things to life and death and stuff.
Right, and we make, you know, the world's best missiles for slaughtering brown children.
Yeah. I know that your reception of over-the-air TV is iffy, if existent at all there. But do you watch shows like Meet the Press and Face the Nation?
If it's on the over-the-air channels, I can't. But I can watch them in delay, and I do. And most of the time they make me bark.
Well, I was sitting here watching it, not live, because I don't watch anything live. I DVR virtually everything so that I can zip through the commercials. Fuck 'em. I don't need, you know, 4 minute spot sets. Oh, and I didn't fall off the turnip truck just yesterday, you know. But anyway, I'm sitting here looking at it, and it's live to me. And I'm bopping along watching, and da 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 da. I'm thinking, where have I seen this type of thing before, other than every fucking week on these shows? I thought back to the not the Gulf War, but the Operation Iraqi Freedom or Liberation, whichever is more correct. And they had Colin Powell on. This was back when what's his name? The fellow from who dies? I can't think of his name, and I loved him. Tim Russert. Okay.
See, I did not love Tim Russert. He is now looked to as the gone but not forgotten Godfather gold standard of Sunday morning shows. But see, I watched him spend way too many Sunday mornings with knee pads on in front of Count Dicula.
Well, I know that there were those weeks, okay? But he had Colin Powell on back during the first decade of the 21st century. And Colin Powell wasn't in the studio. He wasn't at a remote domestic location. That poor bastard was under a palm tree, in front of a palm tree, in some godforsaken wasteland of a place, either Iraq or Afghanistan. And as I recall, Russert was pressing him pretty hard. You know, they must have changed Tim's meds or something, because he was pressing old Colin pretty hard. Ooh, there's a thought I don't want to think of. But Colin Powell's assistant actually tried to end the interview. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I've seen that clip.
Yeah, but Powell, to his credit, I guess, said, no, we'll continue, you know. But I got that same vibe when I was watching Ron Johnson the other morning. And I'm thinking, Chuck, you know, grab the reins, man. You know, tug on these.
But see, that's the other failing in this format. There were no. It's really hard to manage that stuff if you don't have them on set with you. And if you go back and watch the clip, Chuck's in one place, Ron Johnson's in another.
Yeah, he was in Oshkosh, for gosh.
Why not?
Well, no, seriously, that's where he was.
Well, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But and I did it again, Bob, with these fuckers. Some years ago, probably 12 years ago, Laura Ingraham had a serious bout with breast cancer, as I recall. And you won't find anybody on the planet who has a lower opinion of Laura Ingraham back then than I do or did, okay? But I, you know, my humanity got the better of me. And I said, well, you know, she may be an asshat and just a mouthpiece for the prevailing schools of crazy thought, but by God, she's a human being, I think, and she's suffering and she's got kids and, you know, let me send out healing energy to her and her people, and she fully recovers, only to regain her strength and just kick right back in where she left off, just sending out metric tons of horse shit.
Yeah, okay? The same phenomenon we would watch with Steve Scalise.
Yeah, that crazy fuck, you know, or Rush Limbaugh. Now, there's not a person in media who hasn't had more fucking second chances than that fat bastard. Okay? He's fought addiction, the OxyContin addiction. He's lost hearing, you may as well say, in both ears because of it, probably. And there have been several other, he's been through at least four divorces, and I'm not toot my own horn. I'm halfway there. I've been through two, okay? But just when I want to be human about it and cut somebody some slack, they give me ample evidence not to go down that road because it's a fruitless endeavor, you know? And the same thing with Ron Johnson. Didn't he have an issue with a stroke or a heart thing or something early on?
Maybe somebody in the horn ad hoc research department can find otherwise, but...
But anyway, I did the same thing with him. I let myself be a compassionate human being, and this is the fucking thanks I get. We got to sit there and watch him go batshit crazy on national television. I don't know. It's but on some level, it's entertaining. It's sad as fuck, but it's entertaining to me. But then again, I'm twisted. I like sick jokes, so what can I tell you? Speaking of sick jokes, Trump. My God. That crazy man. That crazy, crazy man. I just don't know where this is taking us, Bob. I was sitting the other night watching some of the Senate Watergate.
Well, next time you flush, check to see which way the water is going down the toilet, and that's where it's taking us, and in that direction. It is, of course, different in the Southern Hemisphere.
I've heard that.
They're going in the opposite direction.
That. Is the man in the moon upside down, down under? I think that's true as well. I don't recall.
We'll have to check in with the Horns Australian correspondents in order to find that out.
I know, according to the Broadway musical Maine, the man in the moon is a lady. I think that's where that's from.
Ron in Raleigh wants to know. He says, "Tell Scott, I think Laura Ingraham is lower than whale shit in the Mariana Trench. Is your opinion lower than that?"
Oh, it may well be. As a matter of fact, you could get the latest cutting edge technology in oil well drilling, my capacity for expressing the degree
even
of,
the fracker,
of lowness.
Even the frackers can't find that place that's as low as Laura Ingraham.
If you took the refurbished Hubble telescope and somehow turned it around and focused it in on me here in my little domicile, you could not detect even a molecule of compassion on my part for people like Ron Johnson, Rush Limbaugh, or Laura Ingraham. I mean, it was a hard-learned lesson, but I finally learned it. Give them no quarter whatsoever. Because they're, you know, to me, you get human compassion if you have the capacity not only to receive it, but to express it and live it out in your own fucking life.
Right, you get human compassion if you can exhibit it for others.
Yeah, because the fact that they don't shows me that if I express it and aim it in their direction, it's going to be like bullets jumping off of George Reeves' chest in the old Superman show. You know, I don't know. It's just very sad because you know that it's only going to get worse in the next, 11 months, 12 months, 13 months, between now and the 2020 one question exercise. It's going to get...
That's the United States Quadrennial One Question IQ Test.
Yeah, which I hope to God we study for this time. And by we, I mean everybody who casts a vote.
Well, everybody, you can just disabuse yourself of that right now, because there's somewhere around 30-40% that ain't gonna. They're gonna go out and huff paint thinner until they go to the polling place and eagerly vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and it's going to extend way past Election Day. I don't think we'll get a case like we had in 2000 with Bush v. Gore. But there are going to... If things go the way I'm thinking...
Oh, no. There is rat fucking. There are people being pulled off the voter rolls. The last two that I've seen were massive purges in Ohio and Kentucky. And it's just going to continue until all along the way. Here's one to ponder, though, Scott.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Republicans in Congress who, and this was my, by the way, my happy Sunday morning thought was, the OLC guidance says you cannot charge a sitting president with a crime, but there is no such there is no such ban on sitting vice presidents. So that, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe even though he...
And that will be fertile ground, by the way.
But even though... Even though Mike Pencilneck Geek is up to his Christian eyebrows in this Ukraine business, it could well be that he's being left alone as a sort of carrot dangling in front of the nose of the Republican senators and maybe even Republican members of the House. And here's why I say that. Mike Pence served in the Congress for a while. He was a reliable, loyal Bushy. He was absolutely bizarre when it came to anything having to do with guns or a woman's reproductive insides. And there are a lot of Republicans who know him. And among other things, if you think back to the vice presidential debate, I know, long time ago, when he and the Tim Kaine had it out in 2016.
Seems like forever ago.
There was a question. Yeah, there was a question. There was a question asked about, oh, I don't know, nuclear missiles or international relations or something like that. And Mike Pence, Silneck Geek, took a position that was diametrically opposite to that of Nitwit Nero and tracked pretty reliably with what had been up until then the standard Republican position on international conflict, force of arms, nuclear proliferation, all of that. Is it not at least possible that somewhere down the way, especially given what has happened in the last 24 hours plus with regard to Syria and the Kurds and Turkey, I mean, he rolled over. Trump rolled over and said, yeah, go ahead, make an incursion into Syria and kill all the Kurds you want. Is it not possible that if it begins to look like this is going to be damaging to them, that they might not take a long, hard look and instead of senators going to Trump all Nixon style, that they might go to Pence and say, listen, we wouldn't mind having you be president, but you've got to stand with us and make the case to the nation that the president of the United States is not in complete control of his faculties, and that, moreover, he is, in the language of Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, unable to discharge the duties of his office. Now, a Jesus freak would see that as God reaching out his old scaly hand to touch him with the fickle finger of fate and the evangelicals would, God has given us as anointed a godly man to lead us. Doesn't that possibility at least exist?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's the flying pickle finger of fate. That don't be fooled by cheap imitations, only by the best, you know? Because I remember little rings on the side of that index, that digit. that's entirely possible. But do we know for sure that he's, and by he, I mean Pence, is not also caught up in this thing? See, I've got in the back of my mind.
Well, no, I think Pence is in it up to his Christian eyebrows. But he might be being held in abeyance as a means because you know Krugman was talking about it last week when I was talking about my Frankenstein's monster theory that. What really gives them the shits, the Republicans, is the idea of A, having to agree with Nancy Pelosi on anything, or B, putting her anywhere within the same area code as the line of succession. I mean, she's in the line of succession.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
President, Vice President, Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
But as long as the Republicans could be assured that she was not going to be president, then they might eventually be willing, you know, once the evidence becomes overwhelming, that they might be willing to act. As long as Pence was there.
I can see that. Okay, I do get that as a viable scenario, at least within the realm of possibility, given the right circumstances. I can't help but recall the white horse prophecy.
Oh, the Mormon white horse prophecy, yeah.
I just can't help but wonder if Mitt will somehow inject himself into the proceedings. Because Weld and who is that House member who's running or says he's running?
Mark hiking the Appalachian Trail, Sanford. Yes, South Carolina. Oh, wait a minute, might have lost you. Hang on, Scott. Hang on. This does become annoying. Just stand by. Lord, this does become tiresome. Hey, Scott, hang on for a minute.
Okay.
It's not that this is all screwed up. It's not going to work. I got you.
I hear you.
I know. You're hearing me on the speakerphone. All right. And connected. And nope, not going to go. I guess if you want to try back on Skype, that's fine. But it's not going to work until I'm hung up and reconnected again.
Okay. Well, I'll do that because I've only got a couple of.
Okay, problems. Sounds good. I'll catch you in a minute.
Okay.
Bye. Oh, that's annoying as hell. No, we didn't have any problem with Friday on the front porch.
Hello?
There you are, yes.
Yeah, one thing we're going to have to do is get you a longer cord. We cannot have the host of a program that's heard around the world. We cannot have the host of such a program crawling around, dodging used gum and loose change under the console, trying to plug shit in. We need...
This isn't a cord thing. This is wireless. This is goddamn Bluetooth. And it's
never mind.
It's the gizmo that takes phone calls into the board via Bluetooth. And I don't have any problems with the other unit, but I have other problems with the other unit. Yada yada yada, et cetera, et cetera. But I did want to provide you with a follow up. We have heard from two members of the Australian contingent.
Okay.
Our buddy, the angry architect, says in regard to the moon, yes, it is upside down.
Okay.
On the other hand, our buddy Robert, who is a militant Southern Hemispherian, says, we don't see the moon upside down. You guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, all the maps of the moon are published upside down, which confused me when I first started sky watching. And water in our toilets doesn't spin, as we only have a tiny bit at the bottom, and there's just enough when you flush. By the way, why are American toilets all filled to the top? Because MAGA. And P.S., did you know that the term crapper was actually the name of an early toilet maker in the U.K. and that he put his name on the toilet, thus the expression?
Yes.
I had heard
Thomas Crapper, I believe his name was. Yeah. And the reason, just to answer the question, the reason our toilet bowls are so full compared to other places, and by full I mean with water, the thirsty dog lobby.
Wait a minute. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I have never not seen a thirsty dog when pressed to do it, to go in there and drink out of the bowl. And we may as well give kitty cats equal time. Back in the late 70s, I had a pen pal up in Baltimore, and I used to go up to visit him from time to time. He was the biggest Bette Midler fan on earth. Okay, so there was that. But I went up there to visit, and his mom and dad and sister and brother went out somewhere. So it was just he and I at the home, okay? And we're sitting there playing cards or whatever the fuck we were doing. And down the hall, I hear the sound of someone peeing in the toilet. And I said, I thought your mom and dad and everybody went to wherever they went. He says, no, that's Duffy. I said, who the hell's Duffy? Well, it turns out Duffy was the orange tabby, the male orange tabby, who had somehow been trained to get up on the rim of the toilet seat, squat down, and either pee or poop.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. It can happen.
That amazed me. For years, I would tell anyone who would listen about this cat I knew in Baltimore who could do that. And I know it's a thing, but it just amazes me. That
yeah, but see, you know, if you say, man, I know this cat in Baltimore, they think you're like some sort of jazz musician.
Yeah, baby.
Especially if you're wearing a beret.
Man, what do you do with that shovel? I dig. Well, I'm hip, you know. Yeah, you know, Jesus. But anyway, I'm getting back to our political talk for 2020. I just can't disabuse myself of the notion that Romney is going to make a play for it. Now, true, in 2012, he said a lot of batshit crazy things and mean things.
And he hasn't stopped. And he hasn't stopped believing not one of them.
Right. But regardless of that, nobody that the Republicans put up in 2012 was going to beat Obama. Let's face it. For the purposes of the grand old party, he is an entirely plausible candidate, Mitt Romney is.
Oh, no, he's a wild-eyed socialist now, Scott. I mean, you put down the pipe.
No.
Ronald Reagan would be a commie to this bunch. I mean, you got to live in reality world. This is not your grandfather's Republican Party.
No, what I'm saying is, compared to Trump, now, granted, there are 30% of voters who are always Trumpers. They're not never Trumpers. There's a good number of people who today would vote for Mitt Romney if he were the nominee, because it's that fear that we have in the back of our minds that at some point Trump has paved the way for someone just as radical on the right as he is,
but intelligent,
or claims to be, but capable and has had some sort of job in the past that would qualify him and equip him to really do some damage. And then you've got to add into it the fucking prophecies. Whenever you bring any prophecy into it, it gets crazy. Look at David fucking Koresh, for crying out loud. With the Branch Davidians, a fringe offshoot group of the Seventh Day Adventists.
Oh, you've had people telling Bishop Willard that he's the white horse for 20 years now.
Well, that's what I mean. And if they're opportunists, if they're anything, the GOP is.
But that's only going to work with the Mormons.
Well, there's a shit ton of Mormons, Bob.
Not enough to get you the Republican nomination, there aren't.
Well, all right. It's possible that I'm just barking up the wrong tree.
Because, I mean, let's be clear. The White Horse Prophecy is a Mormon thing. That's not a broader Christianity thing. the white horse is not one of the four horses of the apocalypse. And it's not the one horse that comes along and takes on the other four. Actually, well, according to Revelations, the pale horse, you know, and I beheld a pale horse, and blah, 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 and death rode with him.
Yeah. Well, I think it's incumbent on our side, you know, because we do have a history of nominating not pale horses, not dark horses, not red horses, but dime store horses, you know, like in the back of the Woolworths or something. You put a dime in and let your kid ride for 6 minutes.
Your kid? You know? I haven't quit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can almost see
that's
you,
about that's about the wildest ride I'm willing to get on. I don't do roller coasters and shit.
I don't understand.
I get nauseated on the merry-go-round.
Oh, well, I was told years ago by my brain guy, but the surgeon, and this was in the wake of my operation, but he said, don't get on roller coasters. And he didn't say forever and ever. And I am sorely tempted to waddle on down to Belmont Park here on the shores of Michigan.
No, no, because your doctor was intelligent. He'd seen the Fabio video, and he didn't want that to happen to you.
No, but I thought that maybe
you've seen the Fabio
was,
video, right?
Well, when you say Fabio, brief me on this, because apparently I haven't.
Well, Fabio, the model, the front of the bodice ripper romance novels guy, long blonde hair. Yeah,
he did a butter commercial or something.
Right? Yeah, he did that too.
Okay.
And one day, for some sort of promotion, he got on a roller coaster in the front car and took a pigeon or a seagull right in the face.
Oh fuck. No, I don't want that.
Just look up Fabio roller coaster.
Okay. All right. I will do that.
The things that come back to haunt us on this program.
Indeed. Well, listen, I'm going to go get some more coffee. And
well, and you got a note from Steve in New York, subject line Romney, except for the fact that the GOP is canceling primaries. They're doing that, and Steve's right, they're doing that for all they're worth. You may think you're a primary challenger, but it's kind of hard to be a primary challenger when there ain't going to be no primary.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that, but he's right. I think that they should be somehow held to account by their own fucking party members, because not all of them are crazy. I mean, maybe it's degrees of madness, but some of them at least want for their side a you know, equal playing field, a level playing field.
Well, you know, and I'm not gooning here, but it's just this is actually a funny little thing that was told me by a Mormon once. Mm-hmm. How do you keep the Mormon from drinking all your beer when you go fishing?
I don't know, Bob. How do you?
You take two Mormons.
Ah.
Because that way they have to keep an eye on each other.
Yeah. Well,
I found it more than passing interesting that Bishop Willard issued his statement such as it was only after his brother Mormon Jeff Flake had penned an op-ed in the Washington Post.
Yeah, maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
Yeah, I think he could, if he wanted to be the conscience of the Senate on the Republican side, he could probably fulfill that particular niche. And because, you know, there are still a bunch of senators who are Republicans who were eager supporters of him in 2012, you know, because we had that one in our White House.
Yeah.
So it's possible he, you know, if he wanted to carry that banner, but he also found out lickety-split how fast, how fast Trump can act, because it was no time between Bishop Willard saying that he was troubled and the blah, 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 Ukraine,
before Nitwit Nero's out there saying, you know, they need to impeach Romney.
You know, that tweet by itself, Scott, is probably enough to suggest to a sane person that Trump needs to go, because how can you fulfill a constitutional duty when you don't know what's in it? There's nothing in there about impeaching senators.
Well, didn't he call Romney a name, like some sort of schoolyard name?
Who hasn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, it was. I wish I could remember. My short-term memory is going to shit, Bob. Who is this again?
What? Anyway. Huh? Who are you? But. Now, but see, Romney's safe because out in Utah, Trump's pretty much underwater. So, you know, Romney's in no danger.
Well, you know, Utah was one of the states that ran...
A third-party candidate.
Yeah, Evan something, what was his name?
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not eagerly anticipating the next 12, 13 months. I mean, I am on one
level. Things are moving so damn fast, Scott, it may not be 12 or 13 months. There's still, you know, they're still taking odds out there. I mean, I presume that they are. A UK betting parlor will take a bet on birds on a wire and watch it walk outside and see how the bet goes. I mean, gambling, yeah. You know, they love to gamble. And, you know, there's probably a bookie out there who will make odds on Donald Trump leaving the office feet first.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting anything. I'm saying that, speed's hard on a body. And so is his diet.
And his stress level.
Yeah, he turned purple the other day.
Oh, yeah. That should tell you something.
So, I mean, this thing's on a timetable that no one can predict or even remotely guess at. Honest to Jesus, I was thinking earlier today, I've gotten to where every time an update hits on my phone, I don't mean like the iOS update, I mean every time new breaking news comes on, I look at it because I'm expecting something.
Yeah, it literally could be any fucking thing. That music doesn't help either. That ominous.
Yeah, and see.
Bum, 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 bum.
Marco Rubio was out there claiming that the whole China investigate Biden thing was him gigging the press. Okay, he was defending Trump for all he's worth, and now Rubio's saying that bailing out on the Kurds is a grave mistake and escalate hostile attacks from Iran. Roy Blunt from Missouri, who has apparently never seen Idiocracy, declared that he was baiting, that Trump was baiting the media by calling for China to investigate the Bidens. And, of course, that immediately, you know, reminded me of, go away, I'm baiting, you know, from Idiocracy. Nikki Haley, Nimrata Haley is now tepidly critiquing him. He's stumbling from one foreign policy fuck up to the next. With the Ukraine stuff in the last 2 weeks, we've all suddenly forgotten that the dumb bastard was going to sit down to high fucking tea with the goddamn Taliban on 9/11.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, the pace of the madness unfolding before our very eyes is such that hardly anyone can keep it all straight, and hardly anyone has the memory required to know. I mean, if you talk about whatever was in the news 2 weeks ago, unless you're a professional in the media like you are, most people cannot, their processing centers are not equipped to deal with someone like Trump, and certainly not with the pace of things, like you say. People want to stay up on what's going on, but it becomes increasingly more difficult to do it. Right, Chirps?
Yeah.
Sorry. She needs to be fed when she needs to be fed, and that could be at any time. Right.
See, you're just lucky that you don't have a dog in there who's lingering around thinking that the cat goes into her little box and makes crunchy little doggy snacks.
Oh, no, I used to have my parents had a dog that did that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to ruin dinner for anybody.
No, that's dinner in the Pacific time zone, brother.
Yeah.
And I left it, I left it up to you.
Yeah, and
Darlene in Connecticut lets us know that Trump called Romney a pompous ass.
Well, there you go. It was not worthy of Trump because he normally has.
Maybe that's why Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he nominated Pompeo to be Secretary of State. He thought he was nominating Romney. You know, Pompasso.
Well, he's doing that Where's Waldo, not even diplomacy. He's trying to enlist people to investigate Biden or some such horseshit. Oh, Bob. And I'm just grateful that I have an actual coffee maker now so I can drink real coffee so I can be even more jumpy and fully alert to watch this freak parade go by. And being in America, man, we've got the best fucking seat in the house. You
Ain't
know?
That the truth? Well, I got a call roaring in on here. I'll let you get to your coffee, and I'll take the call, Scott. You take care.
All right, Bob. As always, take care. See ya.
Bye now. Okay, let's see who we got here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Yes.
Let me take you off the speakerphone. Just Carl from Western Mass.
Yeah, Carl, good to hear from you, man.
You know what I think why Trump is taking our 10,000 troops out of Syria?
Why?
I think President What's-His-Face in Turkey just said, you know, Donald, we have these two towers here, and I'll make them so that nobody lives in them or can, you know, maybe there's mice in there or something like that. And if you don't do this, you know, quid pro quo, you know.
Exactly, Carl, because that's what I was getting at. You know, quid pro quo isn't just what he did with Ukraine. It is the motivating force of everything he has ever done in his miserable, rotten, misbegotten life.
And he's looking at how much he's going to lose, especially when, you know, he's got rats or mice or whatever in his towers there, in his shopping center, and President, what's his fuck face, is going to close him down and just say, you know, it's going to look real bad for him. So he doesn't give a shit about, you know, another Armenian, you know, genocide.
No, hell no.
It's pretty much the same area of the country. You know, I think the Armenians were marched through the desert in Syria, weren't they?
I believe you're right.
So it's like, he really doesn't give a shit about anybody but himself.
No, he doesn't. The other thing to bear in mind in this is he also doesn't much give a damn about the people who are impacted by these sorts of things. If you take his response to the refugee crisis coming out of Central America and just sort of flip it over to the Kurdish regions of Iraq and Syria, he doesn't care about them, and we're talking about tens of thousands of people.
Yes. And who's that blood stain going to be on?
Well, it's going to be on him, but by extension,
no,
it's on
it's
us.
It's going to be on us. It's going to be on us.
Right.
Not him. He's going to be dead. You know, sooner or later, he's going to be dead. But they're going to look up. They're going to look back on us.
Yeah, because we let it happen.
We let it happen in the Gulf War. Bush Sr. did that in the Gulf War with the Kurds. And I told you before, I was in Desert Storm, and
right.
Bush Sr. let them, you know, have all their helicopters and bomb the fuck out of the Kurds, and just gave them a good fuck you. You know, let the Iraqis give them a good fuck you. And they're doing it again. Sorry, I've had a few beers, so.
Oh, no, you're fine.
But I mean,
I've never known.
It just really pisses me off. We fucked them people over so many times, and they're fighting the ISIS for us. And all we have to do is make a line for them so that they won't get smeared by the fucking Turks. And it's just pissing me off.
And Carl, on top of that, we have to also bear in mind the fact that it will bear bitter fruit down, a generation or two later.
Because generation?
As somebody will remember, and the next thing you know, something over here is blowing up. It won't be ISIS.
Something happens somewhere else, and somebody says, "No, we're not going to go to bat for you because you did this to them."
Yeah.
To the Kurds. You didn't step up for them, and it wasn't. It's not like the Turks aren't going to touch any Americans out there in the desert. It's just it's just a buffer zone. That's all it is. It just pissed me off. Really pissed me off how he. I gotta go.
All right, take it easy, Carl.
Thanks for taking my phone call.
Hey, man, thanks for calling in. Bye. I appreciate it. Bye. Our buddy Carl in Western Mass. Shorty in L.A. says it's Ankara, not in Sirlik in Turkey. Here we go. I know the Horn family, not surprised, the number 25. Very small number of troops pulled from Syria-Turkey border. And Turkey welcomed the planned withdrawal of some 2,000 U.S. troops from Syria, but the future of U.S.-backed Kurdish militia forces there, labeled terrorists by Ankara, has poisoned the U.S.-Turkey ties. Trump initially seemed to pave the way for a Turkish offensive, but later threatened Ankara on Twitter. The United States has pulled back a very small number of troops from areas of northern Syria along the Turkish border, a senior State Department official said Monday after President Donald Trump seemed to indicate a wider retreat. The military did something. Why give an exact number like 25? The pullback only concerns two very small detachments, meaning less than 25 people in total, that have been moved a very short distance, the official said, following intense backlash from the international community as well as from top Trump allies regarding the move. Well, some of that, I suspect, has to do with the pushback that Nitwit Nero got. Because remember, trying to apply something resembling normal analysis to anything he does is a fruitless errand, because he's not normal. He's not okay. He's not sane. And once you get to that point, you understand that he's just going to pinball from one disaster and one failure to the next. It's how bad off he is. So here we are at about, and thanks for that, Shorty. Thank you very kindly. They've got the maggots there in the Defense Department, and they're there, have to do damage control more than they care to. In fact, earlier today, it was kind of interesting because the Secretary of Defense himself tweeted about Turkey. Only to turn around and have to delete his tweet because he had inadvertently contradicted the President of the United States. Defense Secretary Mark Esper sent out the following tweet. DOD does not endorse a Turkish operation in northern Syria. We will work with our NATO allies and coalition partners to reiterate to Turkey the possible destabilizing consequences of potential actions for Turkey, to Turkey, the region, and beyond. And then link to the full statement. And the statement, the press release from the DOD, said that the president and the DOD didn't support a Turkish incursion. Meanwhile, Trump himself, the White House via statement Sunday evening said
Turkey will soon be moving forward with its long-planned operation into northern Syria. United States forces, having defeated the ISIS territorial caliphate, will no longer be in the immediate area.
And so the SecDef had to delete his tweet, and fortunately, Dave Brown over at Politico caught it this afternoon before it had to be pulled. Jesus, he must feel like an idiot. Then again, he agreed to work for Donald Trump, so if he feels like it, it's probably only because he is. And one last thing. We're bailing out of a treaty again. This one is called the Treaty on Open Skies. There are 34 signatory nations to the Treaty on Open Skies, and it allows all the nations to overfly each other's territory strictly for purposes of observation. It's one of those, old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, said back in the Cold War 80s?
Trust but verify, mommy.
And so the Russians get to fly over us. We get to fly over them. There are 42 overflights of Russian territory every year under the treaty. 16 are performed by the United States itself. And now we're going to get out of the treaty. This is squirrely, but just... And by the way, could we please just finish off Rico's challenge? $30. That would be nice, because Rico was kind enough to make it. But the story that I'm looking at says that Trump soured on the treaty recently. That he said Russia isn't in complete compliance with its obligations. Bullshit. Anybody who believes that Trump is capable of that level of thought is a fool. What it boils down to is Putin has told Trump that he doesn't like the treaty, and that a good way to get out of it would be to say that Russia isn't in compliance. Russia, meanwhile, this is all a shadow box play. Because Putin has accused us of violating the treaty. and Foreign Affairs Federation Council Foreign Affairs Minister Vladimir Zhabarov has said, this is attempt to hide everything Americans will be preparing in course of new arms race. So this is going to go down the crapper. And that's not a good thing. Whatever we can do to keep each other honest is probably the best way to keep shit from blowing up. Oh, well. Hey, thanks, Ralphs. Ralphs jumped in and knocked out some of the remainder of Rico's challenge. That means there's $20 to go. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly. So, if we can knock out that other 20, I know it would be gratifying to Rico. And Rico is a good friend of the program. And I'm sorry about the Ravens yesterday, Rico. I was rooting for the Steelers right there alongside you. And God, that hit that the Steelers quarterback took. No. So that's pretty much it for the evening. We've made it through Moran Monday, and what a bumper crop we had. Back tomorrow, again, with the caveat, I'm trying to make things move, and I don't know how or when they're going to move the way they do. At any point in time, I may miss a day or two. I'm not entirely certain. So I'll try to be here every evening, but there's always a possibility I won't. These are still very, very difficult times. But hope to be here for Titanic Tuesday. Hope you will, too. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff this evening. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air, our subscribers and those of you who contribute on a case-by-case basis, night-by-night. Thank you. I guess we could call that a la carte. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time on this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Marking 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. I love you, son. Later.